The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Hello and welcome along to the FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire. Sam and Tom with you for another week of Football League chat. Lots to discuss over the next 60 minutes. Of course, the transfer window remains open. We'll be discussing all the potential deals on the table. Plus, Leeds United striker hunt continues. Also news today that Cameron Borthwick-Jackson has been sent back to Manchester United as well. We'll get Tom's thoughts on that. We'll discuss the rest of the Yorkshire sides as well, including an impressive draw for Barnsley at the weekend, drawing with top of the table Wolves. A former Wolves manager and Football League stalwart in Paul Lambert is now in at Stoke City. We'll discuss that. Bury have sacked Chris Lucchetti as well, his side failing to score a league goal in his time there. We'll have all the usual features as well. Good days, bad days. We'll try and squeeze that in at the end. Crawley Town Watch as well. We'll check in on old Harry Kewell and Owen Coyle's life stories as well. All that and more on the FL 72. We're live on radioyorkshire.co.uk, on the apps, tune in as well, and in Vision on Facebook, where you can go and watch us tonight and see me a little bit out of breath. At 45 seconds on that promo there.
You did well. To get back.
Make a quick visit somewhere.
Yeah, you made it back quite quickly.
Just in time. Just in the nick of time. Just about. So I need a bit of a breather now. Tommy, good evening. You all right?
Yeah. Not too bad. Trying to catch up with everything that's going on. Obviously, you get into that peak transfer point now, where you just enter the second half of the window. Suddenly teams are either panicking a bit, they're not getting stuff done, and this is probably where you find the most stories about, which is great, and it's all interesting.
Yeah. Are you worried as a Leeds United fan? Not just generally.
I mean, I'm worried about lots of things, Sam. Yes and no. I think it's clear now they want a striker. That's come out. It's worrying that they seem to be a bit surprised that strikers cost money in either transfer fees or wages. If you want a championship standard striker, unfortunately, you have to pay them a bit more. That's kind of just how it works. Chris Martin was offered on loan. That's been kind of the reports going around at the moment. They're not willing to pay the wages, but then they're also not really willing to meet the £6 million price tag for Jack Marriott either. But he'd be on, you know, lower wages. With Peterborough's wage structure, he wouldn't probably even be on five figures a week. So it's kind of, you've got to compromise somewhere along the line, because I don't think Leeds can afford to take a gamble on this one. They need to kind of go in and get someone more proven, maybe, or someone that you kind of know is going to get you goals if you do go for a Marriott, who is in League One but has a fantastic record in it. I don't really think you can gamble on looking abroad in European B leagues for this one. It kind of needs to be, well, it could be a make or break kind of point for the rest of the season, I think.
Yeah, I was saying this morning as well, with someone like Marriott, if Leeds are going to go for him, whether it's now or a player like him in the summer, then you've got to do it now, surely. Obviously, we know that there is a bit of an open goal here in terms of the playoffs. It's wide open, this promotion race. But forgetting all that, Leeds, just in terms of building and the way that they're going, they've made some decent signings. Some of the European boys have come in and are starting to look good in the Championship now. But if you are going to sign someone like Jack Marriott, even if you're going to be in the Championship at the start of next season, better to get him in now, have that step up. He's had a little taste of the Championship for the last few months of the season, so then you can give him everything he needs over the summer to continue to improve. Good pre-season, and then you've got a ready-made Championship player coming in August, rather than if they don't spend any money now and they don't get someone in, then you've still, at the start of next season, whoever you get in the summer is going to have that 2-3 month period where they're bedding into the Championship, because the likelihood is, given what we've seen before, Leeds probably aren't going to be signing players that have played much football in the Championship.
Well, yeah, and you think it's quite bizarre for me. I know £6 million that they got rid of Chris Wood for 15 in the summer. We're talking about a striker here who fits the bill perfectly for Leeds' recruitment policy for what they want. He's 23. 23 goals in all competitions this season, 17 in League One. It's a remarkable record, really, when you think about it. He's made the step up from Luton to Peterborough. He's done that transition quite well, or very well, given his record. And it's, you know, the wages aren't going to be big with it either. It just fits the bill in terms of age, potential. It could cost you $6 million now, but end of next season, it could be worth 20, 25, the way the transfer market goes. You don't know it. This, the one, for me, seems perfect. Leeds have been sent scouts to multiple Peterborough games. You presume to watch Marriott, maybe looking at Madison as well, who they've had previous links and interest in. The transfer fee's a bit more, but for what you're getting out of it, it's definitely worth it. The age is there, the potential is a lot higher, and the fact that his record this season already is remarkable. He'll be coming into a team in the second half of the season in some form as well. So he'll be able to contribute this season and be able to obviously contribute in the future as well because of his age. It just seems a weird one that they're turning down this opportunity at the moment, to be honest. You know you're going to get goals of him, and you know that in the future he's going to be worth a bit more, both in terms of value and what he's going to give you. So I don't like the fact that they're seemingly put off by what is quite a small price tag for a striker anyway, and what you're getting in return.
I suppose the frustrating thing is, as well, is that we've seen time and time again players come out of League One and be successful. And I suppose that's the worry in a way, that Leeds do have this opportunity now to get this player. He's available. You're right, $6 million, you know, a decent amount of money, but they've got that in the bank from Chris Wood, an opportunity to invest. And, you know, even if he comes in and scores 20 goals next season, then Leeds are still in the Championship. You know, the resale value will be great. So the business opportunity, the football opportunity, is good. And you can just see him going somewhere else by the end of the window if they don't act.
Well, yeah, and it's just the fact that I understand building for the long term, which they're doing very well with some of these kind of exciting prospects that are coming in. But there's no point building for the long term if you can't see the opportunities of getting to the Premier League. I've said it before, this league is quite weak this season compared to previous. It's quite open. Leeds are still in the race for second, regardless of them, their current position. It's still very open. Pretty much any of 7-8 teams can probably make second come the end of the season. It's one or two little adjustments. And a striker, is it? They do need more goals in that team. They need someone there, because really, with the creativity of Saiz, Alioski, Hernandez, a striker should really be scoring plenty of goals with the creativity they've got behind them. And are not currently. Roof's done okay. Lasoga's done okay. But in terms of starting strikers, it's not enough for a team at the top end. So there's no point building for the future if you're not going to see the opportunities of getting to the Premier League when they're presented to you. Why wait 4 years when you could do it now? And I think if Leeds get to the end of the window without an additional striker, there'll be frustration. And I think Thomas Christiansen coming out and saying, you know, a striker probably would be good, now there's more expectation from the fans. It just seems a massive missed opportunity if they don't bring him in now.
A decent, has plenty of potential, Mario, and it is one that does scream that Leeds should be acting. Obviously, Chris Martin, we mentioned at the top there. Liam on Twitter says, rumour is that we rejected Chris Martin from Derby. It seems like Derby trying to ship him around to get him off the wage bill. I've seen fans seething, not sure why 30k a week for a bloke with one goal in 25 is daylight robbery, which you can understand. But as you just said there, you're bringing in youth, you're spending a little bit more money, and then a player that will fit into whatever structure you've currently got. Seems just good business, this one, that Leeds may let go.
Yeah, you need to balance out. You can't keep gambling on players from elsewhere to come in and do the job. You know, certain players can look great in their leagues, but when they're playing in poor leagues abroad, then they're going to obviously look good if they're a semi-decent player. Leeds have had it over the year too much. Look at Jordan Bataka. He was quite good in the league he was in, came along, did nothing at Leeds, The same could be said for plenty of other players who've kind of come in from abroad. They could look good in the leagues they're in, but they just don't do the job over here. And I don't think Leeds can afford to gamble on looking at, you know, great, he's a team in the lower end of Italian Serie A, great, but it doesn't mean that he's going to come and fit into the league. I think, you know, take nothing away, they could do it and it could work out. Samuel Saiz has come in, done very well in this division, adapted quite well. Alioski has had a bit of bad run at the moment, but start of the season started very well. But for me, the striker here, you need to kind of go with someone who's got guaranteed goals in English football. And that's why, you know, Marriott's been linked, Chris Martin's been linked, Leonardo Agio has been linked recently. Jordan Hugel as well, who I probably wouldn't be too keen on, especially with a price tag. So yeah, I think they've got to go domestic on this one. I don't really know if they can afford to gamble on it, because they've got players for the future. The players for the future are already there. You need the players for the now as well.
We'll watch the space on that one, but certainly a lot of people screaming for Marriott to come in to Leeds United. Cameron Borthwick Jackson, he's gone the other way. A loan deal that just hasn't worked out. Back to Manchester United now.
Yeah, he didn't work out. Played six times in total in half a season, which just isn't great. It's pointless for a loan player. There's no point bringing someone in temporarily if you're not going to play them. It frees up that loan space. It was a deal that didn't work out. I know Redden have been linked in recent weeks. With obviously they need a left back there. Fulham have also been linked with a move as well. I don't think they really replaced Scott Malone in the summer. So we probably could see him back in the Championship. Man United want to get him out playing football. Again, it didn't work out at Wolves. It's not worked out at Leeds. There's a couple of unsuccessful loan spells there. Yeah, it just seems a bit pointless. It frees up a loan space. But part of me is worried that if Leeds do use that to bring in another striker on loan, two of your three long-term strikers, then really, you know, Ekiban's on the injury list. So you've got Lasoga, Roof and another. Two of the three could be on loan, which isn't great for a team that are building for the future. Surely you can't really be looking too short-term in that aspect. And to have a kind of team too top-heavy with loanees in certain positions.
No, true. Let's get to some of the comments coming in on Facebook. Philip De Bruyne, Vieira injured, Shaughnessy not a midfield player, or Kane out for three games, Saiz out for another five. Doesn't look too rosy right now.
I think this squad is a disciplinary problem. There is issues of discipline in this Leeds team. There's too many yellows, there's too many red cards.
They're third in the disciplinary table.
It's not great. I think.
There was a comment from Calvin Phillips that was in one of the papers on Monday morning, one of the Nationals, and he was defending the disciplinary. But he was saying that this is Leeds, was his basic comments. This, you know, this is the way you have to play. If you wear the Leeds United shirt, you have to go all out. And sometimes things go the other way, and there are periods when, you know, it may look like we're indisciplined, but we have to give it all for the shirt.
I get that, and you get the point of players flying into challenges. If, you know, they're getting into it and they're getting carded for maybe being a bit too aggressive, they're going into tackles too hard, then you kind of go, well, you sympathise with them a bit then. You say, well, you know, they're just getting involved in it. The crowd are, you're kind of shouting them on, and they're just getting stuck in more than anything. The difference is when a player's spitting at someone and another's headbutting for what appears to be no real reason after, you know, around 24 hours earlier, saying that Saiz has kind of let the squad down with what he did, and the next game he goes on and headbutts someone, they go down to 10 men, they lose the game. That's where there's probably a discipline problem. You can forgive to an extent a player who gets two yellows because maybe he was getting too stuck in, the game's on a tightrope, wants to win. That happens, fair enough. But when they're spitting, when there's headbutting, it's unnecessary. It puts your team on the back foot. O'Kane's out for three, Leeds lost the game, Saiz is out for six. They don't need it now. But then it might have changed the transfer policy, which might maybe help them in the long run. I don't know, but they're in a real tough situation at the moment.
Yeah, obviously the Saiz one is completely different, and, you know, deserving the six game ban. A few people pointing out this week that in this age of social media, when you know, things go viral very, very quickly, that Gaetano Berardi headbutts someone. It's almost revered as, you know, he's Leeds, and, you know, he's for the shirt. Yeah. O'Kane does pretty much the same thing and gets vilified for it. Do you see people's problem with that? That in one regard, it's celebrated because it's a certain player, certain type of player who gives it all, leaves everything on the pitch, who still let Leeds down on that occasion, down to 10 men.
In a way, I do see it, but then the situations for both were different. Leeds were 3-0 up at Bristol City. Matty Taylor goes down, gets up and runs at Berardi. Your instant reaction is, well, what's this guy doing? So essentially, Matty Taylor's instigated the incident. Berardi doesn't know what's going to happen. You know what he's like, but he's essentially, probably more than anything, on a self-defence mechanism, was going, well, I'll do something first before he can do anything to me. O'Kane, it's 0-0. They're away from home again, but you don't really know what's happened. It just seemed a bit like the player he headbutted, right? It was horrendous, his overreaction. You know, that shouldn't really ignore that it was pathetic how he went down. But at the same time, it was a red card. So different situations for me. It seemed unprovoked on O'Kane. Berardi probably more, in a way, self-defence. Leeds were 3-0 up at that time. The game was done and dusted. But I can understand it, but I think there were two different situations.
Yeah, but you can maybe see where that indiscipline stems from then. If that happens, it's almost celebrated. And then the next time the players then see that, and it's okay for me to do that.
Yeah, but at the same time, with a Berardi one at Bristol City, Matty Taylor's brought it on himself more than anything. If you, on what was a foul that wasn't that bad, if your instant reaction is get up and just charge at someone, it's like, well, you can't really complain then when something happens. You know, you've instigated the incident, you've been the aggressor in the situation. If anything, Berardi, like I said, is probably, more than anything, just defending himself. He's not actively seeked out to be the instigator in it. He was ran at, pretty much. Whereas O'Kane's, what happened? Nothing happened. He seemingly, whatever's happened in that little spell, he's been the one that's instigated the incident. He's the one who's headbutted for no apparent reason. So I understand that it's kind of celebrating one and not the other, but I think they're two different situations. I think Berardi didn't really bring it on himself. It's just obviously with the nature of his character, it was, oh, he's done it again. Whereas O'Kane seemingly went out of the way to do it. So... Mm.
Completely out of the way. It was one of the weirdest headbutts I've ever seen. Just on the flop of the head.
But it seemed uncharacteristic for O'Kane as well. We don't really associate him with doing stuff like that. We don't really associate him with straight red cards. So I think it was more the shock of it, and the fact beforehand they were talking so much in the press about, obviously he was up on the press conference duty, he was speaking about Samuel Saiz and how he'll learn his lesson, and then a day later he goes and headbutts someone and his side lose. So yeah, it was a weird one. I don't really get it. But I think it just shows an indication of just how kind of at times football's bad more than the reaction of the player. Take nothing away, O'Kane was a red card, but in an age of where simulation's talked about so much, you're talking borderline simulation from the Ipswich player because he's overreacting in order to get a card. And like I said, that's saying it's not a red card, but his actions or overreaction is trying to influence the referee, surely. But yeah, the O'Kane one, very unnecessary. And in the end, it proved costly. We know Leeds' problems at the moment without Saiz, slipping out down the table just a tad, not as high as they were at the start of the season. And something that didn't really need or should have happened.
Let's have a look at some more comments very quickly. A few coming in on this. Philip, again, in the modern game, you can barely tickle a player without receiving a booking. If Leeds played like they did in the 70s and 80s, we would have no one left on the pitch. He's saying, Ronald says, the trouble with the game is that you can't be physical anymore for the amount of diving, faking injury. It's an epidemic and it's destroying the game. Elsewhere on other bits, Colin says, hope we can do this. Marching on together, keep the faith for the Leeds fans. Cal Cook, Lewis Graben would be ideal for Leeds.
I don't know, he's been linked, and Leeds tried to get him last January, but Reading, I think it was, pipped him to the signing on deadline day. They were very close to getting him. Not too sure on Graben. Apparently Bournemouth want him gone permanently. Mm. So what's the price tag on him? Not too sure.
He's one of those players, isn't he, that... I don't know. Are you banking on him getting 20 goals a season? Your 20 goal a season thing before? I'm not sure if you are. Is he...
decent.
He gets goals, he's a very good player.
But I don't know if you want him to be your go-to one at the top end of a table. Especially with the system Leeds play. He's got, what, 12 goals this season? Great return when he was at Sunderland. Back at Bournemouth now. But is it a case of, will he suit being that only striker? Will he suit the pressure, the expectation that's going to be on him? I'm not too sure, but... yeah, take nothing away. I think he's a decent striker at this level.
Yeah, obviously scored 12 goals. It's been an uncomfortable atmosphere, to say the least, being kind at Sunderland this year. So, you know, has gone there, knuckled down and been a real standout man for them. Do you?
Yeah. I don't know. You can't imagine he's going to be cheap either, though. And if they're obviously very strict with their wages. I mean, it took them forever to haggle for Pierre-Michel Lasogga, and Leeds are only paying 15k of his wages. I don't know if Bournemouth want to loan him out again. You reckon they want him gone permanently? And they can probably charge a fair price tag given his return in the Championship. So I don't know if he'd fit into the category of what Leeds want.
Phillips, two cards from suspension as well. Philip talking about the amount of players that Leeds are going to be missing or may be missing over the next few games. Certainly concerning. Andy Brown, evening Andy. We need a striker like Marriott and a seasoned midfielder to get us over the line. If Leeds are going to add players, obviously a striker, everybody's saying that, and you know, that's a general consensus. Is a central midfielder now the one if Leeds are maybe going to do two more bits of business? And would you be happy if they did bring in just two more players? Would that be enough just to take Leeds a little bit further than maybe last year?
I guess, but it's got to be quality. You know, they're very stubborn on the wages, which is fair enough, but then surely you've got to expect that coming to the Championship. You know the wages are going to be high. You know transfer fee is going to be high. I know they were looking at Adam Clayton recently, and I think, again, the wages have put them off, and it's almost like it's a shock that suddenly top-end Championship players are going to cost more. I think they do need to make a couple of additions. I think probably a couple more in terms of the spine of the team, defender, midfielder, striker, because they'd probably look a different animal then. I think with suspensions, potential suspensions, with potential injury as well, I think they probably need to more than anything now. I think Saez out for 6 games is a big loss. O'Kane for 3 games. Phillips, again, that's 2 games if he gets suspended. You can't really risk it. You're asking for too many good luck. You're asking for too many favours for the rest of the season. I think they need to be more safe than sorry now. And it all adds competition. It's all good. So I think if you're talking maybe 2 or 3 more that I think Leeds need, if they finish this window with no additions, maybe 1 addition, you'll be feeling a little bit disappointed given how this month has turned out.
Philip, 2 million second-hand strikers will not cut it. Waste of money and time. Cal Cook is the one. Here's the one. Gary Medine has been linked with Leeds this week. I think that might have been us from last week.
Yeah, that was probably us. It's too short term, I think, for me. I don't know. Again, it'll probably give you something for the second half of the season, but it just doesn't fit the bill for what Leeds want. We said it before, I know. It's just Marriott, for me, is the obvious one. Fits what they want. He's the age they want, the wage they want. The transfer fee's a bit higher. He's got the return. If they're linked with Jack Marriott and looking at Jack Marriott and get Gary Medine, got goals in him this season at Bolton, but you'll be feeling that they've gone the cheap route again. So yeah, I'm not sure on that one, given some of the players they're currently watching and scouting and looking at getting in.
A couple more from Facebook. Catherine says, if Leeds don't strengthen the squad this window, do you think there is a lack of... I would be able to read that if I didn't just get a call. Do you think there's a lack of intent to go for the playoffs? Are we not strong enough? Lack of intent if Leeds don't?
A bit, I think so. I think it maybe not lack of intent. I think just thinking too long term. I think they're looking too much at 4 or 5 years time that they're forgetting that they've still got an opportunity now to do it. Great Oliver Sarkic from Benfica. He looks a good player. He seems a decent addition for the under-23s. Zappo Halmer seems decent. A few players as well who the sign of the under-23s probably will be good players in 4 or 5 years, but it's just they'll probably miss the opportunity now. So I don't know if it's a lack of intent. I think it's probably more looking too long-term. They've got an obligation to have a strong first team. And again, we're not talking about Leeds in 13th, 14th. They're playoffs, in and around the playoffs. They're in and around playoffs and they've got a shout at top two. They really have got a shout at top two given the league this season. Be a massive missed opportunity if they don't kind of capitalise on it now.
Do you really still think that? They've got a shout at top two?
I think they do.
Catching Derby?
Yeah, I think they do. I think the league's very open.
9 points off the pace.
If Leeds get a Jack Marriott in, if they get a striker in, maybe another midfielder in as well, 2-3 additions of championship standard, then they probably look a complete different prospect. I think there's goals in them then. There's numbers in them. There's creativity in it. Maybe a bit of luck as well. But so many times Leeds have been within a goal, drawn 0-0. It's just having something that can change 1 point into 3. And you don't know how far that could go. But I think the league's very open. And I think anyone in that top 7, top 8 is genuinely in with a shout, because we know how the championship works with form. And it is that they're so close this time. Even top 6. To get top 6 would be great, but you need a couple of reinforcements first.
Yeah, top 6, definitely. I don't think Leeds can catch Derby. I think Derby are going to go on and finish second. And we're saying one or two more for Leeds, they can compete. But we've already mentioned Chris Martin potentially going out of Derby. They're getting that 30k reportedly off the wage bill. Who are they going to get? Who are they going to strengthen with that? And I think Derby will probably do a bit of business to try and secure that. Obviously, Cardiff chasing them. Villa as well. Steve Bruce, you would imagine, will be knocking the owner's door down to do a bit more for them, trying to get a bit more experience in. Not that haven't got any already at Villa. But I just think that those four sides will probably add, and I think Leeds, as you said, playoffs would be a fantastic achievement this year, and they could have a really good crack at it over two legs.
Potentially, yeah. Once you're in there, you never know. I think Leeds have shot themselves in the foot a bit by publicly saying top 60 aim at the start of the season. Back to the lack of intent thing on Chris Martin, I think a lack of intent will come into play if they replace Chris Wood with two loanees. If they try and replace a £15 million striker with two temporary players, one of which has probably struggled to adjust currently through injury, through various reasons, and another who is not deemed good enough for a team who are currently second in the league Leeds are in, where Leeds are seventh, 9 points behind them. I think that's where you're getting lack of intent, lack of ambition from, and where they're trying to do the cheap option. But even then, you're looking at the second half of the season, you're thinking they probably need to strengthen to make sure they get top six. Sheffield United have turned it round a bit. They were in a bad run of form. Bristol City going strong. No, they lost at the weekend, but they've shown that they're capable of doing it. Villa have got a strong team. Cardiff just keep going. Derby as well. Fulham, they've popped up out of nowhere. Middlesbrough, managerial change. Preston as well. Even Brentford. Brentford are only 3 points off the playoffs. So for me, actually, genuinely, you are talking about anyone in the top 11 there. Top 11, maybe even Ipswich at top 12. So anyone in the top 12 can make top six. I don't think Leeds can expect to do it with what they've got now. Reinforcements have to come. I think the situation's changed. The picture's changed over the last month or so in terms of both for Leeds and what's been going on in the league. And I think if they don't add now, they're going to drop out. They're going to fall down because I think they need fresh bodies just to freshen up a bit, to create competition, to spark them into life a bit. Otherwise, they're in a real danger of how tight the league is. It's that tight, they can finish top six. I still think they've got a chance at top two, or they can end up finish 12th or 13th. And I think it comes down to if they can make the additions before the window closes in, 15 days' time?
Ticking down now the transfer window. We'll discuss some more potential moves very, very shortly. Let's have a look at the Championship top 11 then, as you said. Quite a few teams still in it. Ipswich are 12th on 39 points. Sheffield United 4 points better off in six, so they're all packed in. You mentioned Fulham there; they are on a streak. A few people writing them off, but a good win again at the weekend, beating Middlesbrough. That's off the back of beating Ipswich 4-1 as well. So Fulham in some very good form as well. They've also beaten Cardiff in this run as well.
They're doing what they did last year. They've snuck up. They've gone under the radar, a bit like Derby in the top two. Fulham are going under the radar massively here. I think it's probably caught a lot of people by surprise when they're checking the table and seeing that Fulham are up there. One more win and they could be in the playoffs. So really snuck up. They've got quality in that squad. There's no point denying it. And again, they're going to be looking at this month as a potential opportunity to strengthen. I know they've been linked with Cameron Borthwick-Jackson. I'm not too sure to what extent that is strengthening, but they're looking to add. And yeah, doing very well at the moment. Again, like I said, last season, they're sneaking up. They're just making sure they can get their results. And if they have a good second half of the season, they can once again hit the playoffs in a bit of form. And I think they have got the potential there to be a Premier League side once again. So yeah, that top 11, top 12, for a neutral, you imagine it's going to be a very good running, very good second half of the season. As we look to see, you can make top two, make top six as well, because like I said, there's so many teams in with a shout. It should really be a strong playoffs this year when it comes to it.
Yep, looking very competitive. Sheffield United obviously have snuck back into sixth. That draw against Sheffield Wednesday on Friday night in the Steel City Derby, but still they've not won in three games. The Blades, but they're still up there. Do you think they can last it out, or we've obviously seen a dip from them of late? Do you think they'll kick on and go again like some of the other teams have done in this division so far this year? Leeds being one of them, Preston being another, still in the mix.
Yeah, they've made a couple of early additions already. I know Ricky Holmes is the latest to come in from Charlton. They've got their business done. They're getting it done early as well. Some decent players as well. They've got a very good kind of scouting system there in terms of the players they can identify to bring in. Players who necessarily not go under the radar, but don't essentially capture the big headlines. They're getting some real quality in. And yeah, they've got the potential to push back up into the playoffs. They already are there. We spoke about what we expect from Sheffield United this season, pre-season. We said, you know, I think a platform to build on to give it a real good go. They're further ahead than that. I know Cameron Carter-Vickers has gone back to Spurs, but regardless, they've still got a quality outfit there. It's just how they kind of bounce back, how they respond to this run of form going in, you know, from 2017 into 2018 over the New Year festive period. They've struggled. But they've got the potential to do it. They've got a strong squad, a good manager in Chris Wilder. I'm surprised not more clubs in the Premier League who have been opening vacancies have kind of at least inquired about him. So the potential is definitely there, I think, for them to be top six when it comes to it.
Yeah, when do you think that this point will be that more people like Chris Wilder, like Lee Johnson at Bristol City, or at the moment you would say both of those two wouldn't go anywhere with the positions they're in, particularly Wilder being, you know, a Blade through and through. Lee Johnson's still got a big cup game to come. Obviously, Gary Rowett has been linked with jobs, decided to sign a new contract and stay put. But Paul Lambert going in at Stoke City this week, obviously we've seen him more recently in the Football League at Wolves, yeah, and Blackburn Rovers as well. But it just seems frustrating looking from outside when there are some good managers in the Football League who are just being overlooked, never getting an opportunity, not even mentioned with a job, most of them when they come up. But it's all the usual candidates, and then when all the usual candidates are back in work, and the merry-go-round has stopped. You kind of look back, and it's more guys like Paul Lambert who have already had opportunities in the Premier League. And let's face it, he's saying himself in the press conference today, Paul Lambert, I never thought I'd get another opportunity to be a Premier League manager.
It sums it up then.
That just shows where he's at and his ambition is at after, you know, probably being ground down by the job. But there are guys there that are, you know, are showing talent, showing prospect, but they, you know, they may be in Paul Lambert's position in 4 or 5 years' time, but they're just not getting the opportunity to even give it a crack.
Yeah, it's getting boring now, the Premier League managerial merry-go-round. It's the same names all the time. Fair enough, David Moyes at West Ham seems to have turned it round a bit. Same with Roy Hodgson at Palace, I guess, but it's just the same names. You know, you're looking at Stoke going, well, what's going to inspire people to get behind them more? Poaching a manager from a top-end championship club who's doing very well, or Paul Lambert. You look at the reaction to the Paul Lambert appointment and it speaks for itself. You're a struggling club, not just a team, but a club in terms of the atmosphere, of course, around is not great at the moment. They're struggling in the Premier League. You can galvanise your fan base if you turn around and go, we've managed to poach Chris Wilder from Sheffield United. He's done very well. Led them to a record points tally, whatever it was, in League One. They scored plenty of goals. First season of the Championship, they've been in and around top six. Doing very well. He's getting the best out of these players. Look at Leon Clark, etc. He can get the best out of players who you necessarily wouldn't think he could. Stoke, the quality, it's there, but it's also needs improvement. And I think that would galvanise a fan base more than his Paul Lambert. You know about him. He's pretty much here because 4 or 5 different targets didn't want it for various reasons. And yeah, it's just tedious now. It's the same names all the time and it doesn't surprise you. Not saying that a Wilder, a Lee Johnson, a Gary Rowett, as we saw, would go, but there's no problem with inquiring, showing your intent that you do want the managers, you want to think outside the box a bit and go for it that way. It's just going, it's just the same old, I think. And it's getting boring.
And even you look at Carlos Carvajal, he lost his job at Sheffield Wednesday. You know, had a great first season. You know, since then, they've probably treaded water. Obviously, they had a great run to get into the playoffs at the end of last season. But if that is a young English manager who gets sacked by Sheffield Wednesday, you can guarantee he isn't walking into a Premier League job in the next few days.
Yeah, just a surprise one. Really surprise one, that. You know, you can understand them saying, you know, he got them to the playoffs twice. It's like, well, yeah, but they spent quite a lot of money to do it. They spent a fair bit to try and get that top six finish and were ultimately unsuccessful. So he's not really actually achieved anything at Sheffield Wednesday. He gave them some great memories, getting to Wembley, beating Arsenal. But he's not actually won anything. He's not achieved anything in this time at Sheffield Wednesday. And like you said, it's because kind of a name. They've just looked at what he's kind of done and gone, well, it's a decent record in a small amount of time. But as it's shown, Swansea still favourites to go down, probably are going to go down. They're not really going to get anywhere with the appointment. So that was a bizarre one. And you're kind of going, well, why aren't they trying to poach managers? You need to, you know, not just go, we'd quite like to be our manager. Well, you're bottom of the Premier League, you're going down. I don't really think so. I'm going to stay with my team in second in the Championship or whatever. We've got a chance of going up. You need to kind of entice them away from those clubs, and I don't think they're doing it. There's obviously a reason why they don't want to go. There's a chance there. The money's available. January transfer window. Chairmen in the Premier League are going to spend. You can bring in some real quality, work with some real quality players, and they don't want to do it. So there's obviously some reason why. I just don't think Premier League clubs, if there is any interest in Championship managers, they're not really trying hard enough to get them. They'd rather just go, ah, we'll get Paul Lambert. We've heard of him. He's a name.
2.5 year deal as well for Paul Lambert. I thought they might do something similar to Carlos Carvajal. Give him till the end of the season. You can then, you know, judge the initial reaction. You can kind of work with the guy, see how things are looking, whether you believe in the man long term. But to commit that, and you know, it's great for Paul Lambert. Whatever happens, you know, he's getting 2.5 years money out of
happy days,
out of this gig. But again, you know, you were saying, you know, Chris Wilder might not leave now. Lee Johnson might not leave now. Gary Rowett might not leave now. But in the summer, they might. Because only 3 teams are going up.
Well, yeah, exactly.
And one of them's Wolves.
Yeah, so you've got 2 spaces there. If you stay up, whatever, great. And then if Bristol City don't get promoted, if, you know, Derby don't get promoted, Gary Rowett's there, you're saying, well, we can give you 2 years, whatever, we can give you a year, you can have a go in the Premier League, see how you like it. If not, you know, let's be honest, if Swansea stay up and you go into Swansea, they're still going to be expected to be relegated. If they get relegated, it's, well, there's only so much you could do. Everyone was expecting them to go down. It's like Massimo Cellino at Leeds. Everyone was going, why are they taking jobs? Why managers keep taking jobs? Because they know that everyone's expecting them to get sacked. So if they last, great. Happy days. If they don't, everyone goes, well, you sacked them all the time. It doesn't matter. So it's a bit, yeah, I don't know. I just don't get thinking of some Premier League clubs and how they'd rather just go to the same old, than actually probably doing less of a risk in getting someone in who's actually doing quite well in the league below. Doesn't really work. They're happy to take players from those clubs, but not happy to take the managers.
Good point. Massimo's sacked one today, hasn't he?
Yes, over at Brescia in Serie B. He's hiring back, I think, the guy who was there in October. I think he's going back.
It's one of those gardening leave things, like, yeah, everyone thought that Darko Milanic would eventually come back because he was on gardening leave.
I don't know if it still applies in Italy, but you can only have so many managers a year. Because at Cagliari, you used to have to call back old managers who'd been sacked that year because they hit, like, I think there's a limit for the amount of managers you can have in one season. I think you only have about three or four in one calendar year. So maybe he has to do, I'm not too sure. I think that was a rule at a time which he had an issue with Cagliari. I don't know if it applies now, but yeah, he sacked another today. Who'd have thought it? Who'd have thought it? Surprising news when it came out.
Yeah, should bring that in here. Philip says that he's surprised teams don't approach the likes of Jukanovic at Fulham. Got to agree with that one.
Yeah, I kind of, whenever you look at Premier League, you're kind of touting him a bit because you think, you know, they've not necessarily done well this season, but last season they were a very good team. They've become a good team again this season. He can get the best out of the players. So yeah, I'd probably have to agree there. I don't know why he doesn't get mentioned or linked more often. I think he's quite an underrated manager in this league.
I'm surprised he wasn't the man for Middlesbrough after Gary Monk.
Yeah. Do you think, I don't know. He'd probably,
or on the man I in think, the first place.
Yeah. I think, though, I know in the terms of the first place, you look at Gary Monk, the reputation he had, how well he'd done really with Leeds, given circumstances, finances, squad, etc. He was free and available. They wouldn't have to agree a compensation package. It was easy to go to. But yeah, obviously for Middlesbrough, it seemed to be, we have players that suit a style of football. Tony Pulis will play that style of football. We should hopefully get results. Not necessarily worked out as well as they'd hoped short term, but I think that was the reason why. But yeah, it surprises me he doesn't get linked with more jobs. I think he goes under the radar a bit. But then he might be happy at Fulham. He seems to be doing a good job there. He's got good resources available to him and got a decent squad as well.
Just on the manager thing, if I know Tony Pulis hasn't been there very long, but if Gary Monk had been on a run of beating Bolton, losing against Villa, winning dramatically against Preston, then losing to Fulham, there'd be quite a bit of criticism coming in for that kind of run, win-lose, which is kind of what Middlesbrough have done all season.
Yeah,
they're not really progressing too much. Again, I know he's not been there very long, but you hire a guy like Tony Pulis for probably that instant impact.
Yeah, I think, well, they expected it, didn't really, the way they were talking about him. He suits this style of football. We've already got the squad there who suit this style of football, so brilliant. He'll come in and it'll work. That seemed to be the impression you were getting. If the squad was ready-made for him, it should be able to come in. Bam, instant impact. We win, we go up. Happy days. Well, it's not worked. So, yeah, there's been a lot of patience with him. I understand he's just got the job and that, but they really kind of indicated that it should be a quick fix. But then this is a Middlesbrough team and Middlesbrough club who expected just to walk back into the Premier League. And it's obviously not worked out that way. So, yeah, a bit surprised that, to be honest, I thought the way they made out, he'd have more of an instant impact, and he hasn't. And they face a bit of a battle if they are to make top six, let alone get promotion this season. It's probably going to be another season in the championship for them.
Do you think They will. Are they one of the teams that you think might run it close, being the top six? Philip comments he can't see Borough going up. Teams usually turn up by now. Borough have been lackluster all year.
I think it's a big ask. Now they're very inconsistent for a team that are up there. Bit like Leeds at the moment, they're a bit too inconsistent. You're looking at, right, so we say, I think five stays as it is. Six, probably there's only a sixth spot going currently. Might be in a different order completely, but you imagine Wolves, of course, they're up. Derby, Cardiff, Villa, Bristol City have consistently proved that probably they are a top six side. So you're looking at sixth. So Sheffield United, Leeds United, if they recruit, they're a couple of tweaks away. Fulham, dark horse coming up. Preston, keep going under the radar. Brentford have got some good results recently as well. They've gone under the radar a bit. And even Ipswich are in with a shout, really. I think they're too inconsistent around it for other players, for other teams. I think from ninth down to 12th, it's going to be difficult for them to get top six. I just think it's too competitive for them at the moment. They're too inconsistent. They're not stringing together results that they need to be.
Yeah, I'm going to give Middlesbrough a bit more time before I write them off. But I think Bristol City are gettable as well. I think they've obviously on a little bit of a dip at the moment. They've got the cup distractions. I think fifth and sixth are open. It wouldn't surprise me if they're in there at the end of the season. But with Leeds, I think there's still an opportunity there. I think it's going to be difficult now though for Leeds with Saiz being out for the important games at the start of February. And that's a real blow for them, unless there is somebody that comes in and hits the ground running.
Yeah.
I think that Leeds might struggle in some of those games early Feb.
Yeah, I think, you know, it might change the transfer policy, and maybe that's the importance of why they need to recruit this January, need to get players in, because they're going to struggle otherwise. Saiz, wonderful player. I think he will be at Leeds in the long term unless a ridiculous money offer comes in. If Leeds truly are building for long term, Saiz is a player they need to keep hold of unless we are talking ridiculous money, which is potential in this market. But he's a player they want to build around. I think even if Leeds don't go up, I think Leeds can keep hold of him and build a team around him, really. But it just stresses the importance of recruitment. They've got key players missing. They need to look at January as a way to replace, to strengthen as well, because it's not just strengthen, it's basically just trying to keep the quality there in certain absentees. So, yeah, it's a big importance. It's pretty crucial now, this January transfer window, even more so than it was before for Leeds.
Let's have a quick look down the bottom of the Championship. Sunderland still rock bottom. They were beaten at the weekend, hammered 4-0 by Cardiff, of course. Derby put three past Birmingham as well. Defeat for the bottom four in the table on Saturday. QPR beat Burton, and Bolton lost as well, 2-0 against Brentford. You have to go up to 14th, actually, before you get a win. From the weekend results, from 20th up to 16th, being Millwall, Preston, all drew. Then Forest got beat as well by Villa. QPR in 14th, the only team that won. In those bottom few teams in the table. I suppose with Hull, no news, good news at the moment, yeah. But we wait until the mad panic at the end of the window,
yes,
to see what happens there.
I think for Hull it is that. The quieter it is, the better, because you're expecting outgoings more than ingoings at Hull. Similar to the top, I think from 14th downwards, you've got a relegation battle there. I think anyone from 14 down, you're only 9 points. That's a couple of games swinging it. I think more relegation, it probably go down to the wire a bit more as teams start to... You know, it's inevitable. We always see it at the end of the season. If the teams at the bottom are playing mid-table teams who don't have much to go for, the teams at the bottom are winning because they need to win more. So then you can really get to a point where if the table's set up similar when we hit 35, 36 games, maybe even 40, you can see teams get dragged in. If they're still struggling, you can look at maybe a Hull, maybe a Bolton, maybe even a Burton. Birmingham as well could string some results together, and then you're dragging everyone else down into it as well. So, yeah, for me, I think anyone from QPR and 14th downwards, there's only a 9-point gap between QPR and 14th and Burton in 22nd. But if that gap's quite similar, you're imagining it could go down to at March, April time.
Some of the transfer news you've got down here mentions a couple of clubs involved in that mix. Norwich have pulled themselves away a little bit, but one of a few clubs interested in Ashley Fletcher on loan from Middlesbrough, Sunderland and Barnsley being another two. Again, a move that's not worked out for Middlesbrough. A lot of money put down there at the start of the season on him. For one of those clubs, would be a boost, though.
Yeah,
Barnsley could get hold of him.
Yeah, Barnsley, you imagine, might have a bit of a favour or favourable with him because obviously he's been there before. Ashley Fletcher, very much a Gary Monk signing, as we saw Leeds tried to get him in on loan before. Last window, pretty similar to Johnny Howson at Middlesbrough as well. Leeds looked at him in the start of the summer when Monk was still around. After he left, the interest suddenly went, so you know that was very much a Monk signing. But Fletcher, be a good pickup for anyone down there. He's a good striker at this level. I just think for Barnsley, maybe with the extra finances available, that could be a very good deal because he's been there before and he's been quite successful there before, and it'll be a big boost for them as they, you know, they'll want to pull themselves away given the new investment they've got.
A couple of people asking, Andy being one, Colin as well, Colin Warrington, saying, why don't Leeds look at good players from Manchester City who don't get in their team? Andy naming Phil Foden being one.
Yeah,
so they've got their arm around him. He's only 17, so
yeah,
don't want to keep him there. But
potentially. I know Leeds got Adam Clayton, I think, from Man City when they signed him. There's talent in those youth squads. It's just finding the right talent. There's just massive amount of players at clubs like that. You've got to find ones. It's always difficult to judge, I guess. Ones who are good for championship level. Ones you get in a kind of good return off. But yeah, they spend a lot of money in signing quality players just for their reserves. So, you know, if they want to go down that route, you imagine they'll want them to get out playing football. So it's a potential. It's a potential. We'll have to wait and see.
Now, each and every week here on the FL 72,
oh, yes,
we touch base up in Scotland with our old pal, Owen Coyle, of course. Football League stalwart for the amount of teams that he's managed. We do miss him.
Legend more than stalwart. Legend
yeah,
Football
I,
League.
I think he was next.
Depending
on
who you supported.
Yeah, next on Stoke's list, I think. But this week, in Owen Coyle's life stories, a regular non-award winning feature. What happens this week?
We're approaching the end of this. It's got to be said, we're running out of Owen talk. This week, talks about the importance of having a good relationship with a chairman. And also makes a bit of a claim that he speaks for everyone. So here's what he had to say.
Well, that's a brilliant question. I'll tell you why. From a managerial point, I can probably speak on behalf of other managers on this, and I don't normally do that. But I think what we've all recognised in the game is the relationship now in football between the manager and the chairman owner is crucial, because that's going to be such a tight relationship in respect of that you share the same ambition, the same vision, the same desire to improve the football club.
Obviously the result 5-1 is disappointing, but again they're from mistakes.
And Harry Kewell, the Crawley manager, has started with three defeats, so disappointment for him.
So Harry Kewell still awaits his first win as a manager. Crawley have been well and truly put to the sword tonight.
These are the weeks that I like. Manager of the month.
Don't like this feature anymore.
Manager of the month. He's going places, this kid.
Yes, over at Crawley. They're in form. Beat Barnet, who, fair to say, are struggling at the bottom of the table. But, yeah, have done well. They've been playing teams below them and have been able to get results against the teams below them, helped by a referee at Yeovil and helped by Barnet being rubbish this week. They're now 8 points off the playoffs. Oh, my word. Which is a win-win, I've thought about this, because if they get promoted to League One, they'll just get hammered then. So, you know, it's a win-win situation here. But Crawley, going very strong at the moment. 3 wins in a row. They go to Newport next, who are in a bit of decent form themselves. Buoyed, obviously, by the Cup victory over Leeds United. The impending visit of Spurs as well. They'll want to hit a bit of form for that. So, yeah, could be interesting. But then saying that, come the weekend, they could actually go back to being closer to relegation than promotion. However, well, they've we'll moved see. From 17th to 14th now. So yeah, they're actually going somewhere.
You said they weren't going anywhere. They are climbing the table. Do me a favour. Just on your screen there, click form.
Form.
Form at the top there. Click form. Click overall. Yep, there we go.
There we go.
Who is the team at the top of the form table
most
in League 2?
In form team in the entire of League 2. But I'd like to point out that because of the FA Cup weekend, they've actually only played one game after New Year's Day.
Well, hold on then. Click on 10 games. Click on 10 games. They're fourth.
Fourth. Still not.
They're
still
on a tear.
Still three teams above them in NIP. So it's all right. They're going well. If they get a victory at Newport, it's on. It's on. The great escape. I don't even know what the expectation was, but potential promotion.
But manager of the month's definitely a candidate. With the features here on Radio Yorkshire, it's the FL 72, and well, because of the extended Crawley Town Watch that we just had, normally I had nothing to say, but I've got to rub it in. It means, Tom, you have 30 seconds.
You're joking. Right, Championship. Great. Good day for Cardiff. They're back to winning ways with a 4-0 victory over 10-man Sunderland in the early kickoff on Saturday. It was bad for Bristol City. A good performance away at Man City is followed by a 1-0 home defeat to Norwich City. Going to League One, it was good for Blackburn. A 3-1 win over promotion rival Shrewsbury Town, who take on West Ham in FA Cup replay down at the Taxpayer Megadome tonight. Bad for Bradford. They defeated 2-1 at home to struggling Northampton, the Stuart McCall's home form. The struggles continue. League 2, good for Chesterfield. 2-0 win over Luton Town. They actually won a game against a good team as well. Bad for Barnet. The losing streak extends to 5, and it's not just because they lost to Crawley, but they lost to Crawley. Good days, bad days for this week.
There we go. You're next with the evening show on Radio Yorkshire. That's all we've got time for on the FL 72.